Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time we have together, Lord, to just rest in your presence and, Lord, to hear your word. And Father, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to speak what you'd have me to tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us ears to hear, and Lord, that we would live it out each and every day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. But sometimes it's good for us to just stop all of our busyness and running long enough for us to re-examine our priorities, to think about what's really important in our lives, to reevaluate. To reevaluate is to reassess the value of something. It is to reassess the significance, the worth, or condition by careful appraisal and study. You ever seen that show? I don't even know the name of it. But people bring this old piece of junk they found and they bring it, yeah, that one. Anyway, they bring it to this show and they say, oh, yeah, this thing that you paid 75 cents for at a garage sale is worth $2,000. Woo! That's what you call reassessing the value of something. All of a sudden, it's worth a lot more than what they thought. Well, sometimes we need to do that in our life and just reassess what's really important, what's really valuable to us. You know, our money says, in God we trust, but most of us know that in our country, it seems that money has been put at too high of a value, that the vast majority of Americans seem to put their trust in money instead of God. Proverbs 11:28 says, he who trusts in his riches will fail. Money can't buy health. Well, it can buy you the best health care, but like the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, that doesn't always work. It tells us that she suffered many things from many physicians and spent all that she had, but she grew no better, only worse. And I'm just telling you, there's things more valuable than money. Money can't buy you happiness. A wise person once told me that money can't make you happy, but it's hard to be happy without it. And I understand what they were saying, but you know, that's a very relative statement. It is hard to be happy if you don't have enough money to buy the things that you think are really important. I read in the news one day about a woman who was to receive $53,000 a week in her divorce settlement. She said it's not enough because she couldn't maintain her current lifestyle on that amount of money. And I'm just telling you, it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? People in third world countries are content with so much less than what we can even imagine. It's amazing. Sometimes they have almost nothing, and yet they have a smile on their face. And some of us think, if we don't have everything that we see on TV, that how could we be happy until we finally get it? I'm just telling you, sometimes we need to reevaluate. So here's a biblical perspective on money and possessions, material things. Be content with what you have. Hebrews 13:5 in the NIV says it this way: keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. That couldn't be much plainer, could it? 1 Timothy 6:6-8 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Anybody want to say amen? Hey, that's pretty good. Now some of you, I'm not sure that you really meant it, But Paul says, having food and clothing, with these, we will be content. Now, if God blesses me with more, praise the Lord. But wherever we are in life, what we have, I tell you, we need, I'm talking about material possessions. Paul says we need to be content and not lust after things. And here's the point, is that first of all tonight, I just want you to realize so much of our world, the society we live in, values things, material possessions, at way too high of a place. And it eats up so much of their life. I'll just remind you, so many have said, oh, I just wish I had worked more hours at the office. You know, when this life is over, nobody says, oh, I wish I could go back and, you know, earn another few dollars. Nobody thinks that. But there's an awful lot of people that think, you know what? If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't worry so much about the stuff. I'd do things differently. And I just want to encourage you tonight, it might be good to reevaluate where material things are in your life. It's not a newer, nicer car, a bigger house, or more stuff that's really important. No, our lives are much more than the stuff we own. Jesus said, Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Jesus says, watch out for greed, because it's not about stuff. When people list their valuables, they always just list material possessions. But certainly we need to know that those are not our real valuables. So what's really important in life? We got to reevaluate, reassess the value. What's really important in life is to have a relationship with God and to know Him personally and intimately. The one thing that we should value above all else is the relationship that we can have with God. After Paul, Saul then, met Jesus, he did some reevaluating in his life. You know, this religious man, Saul, he had a lot. He had education, which at that time was pretty rare. He had a lot of, well, religion. He had religious clout. I mean, he had a lot to be proud of. And by the standards of this world, he just had a lot. But listen to what he says in Philippians 3, 7, and 8. What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul realized that all of that religion, all that education, all the money of the world, all the respect of the world, all of that was worth nothing. He says, rubbish, garbage compared to knowing Jesus. And I know that tonight I'm talking mainly to a group of people who know the Lord. But I'm just telling you, sometimes we just need to stop and reevaluate and say, what's really important in my life? And not just with lip service, but with the way that we're living our life, show that Jesus, knowing Him, is the most valuable thing in our life. A relationship with Jesus is worth far more than anything in this world. Nothing else can compare. And the more that you know him, the more that you know that. And if you don't know that, well, you don't know him very well. The value of God being our all in all should be evident in our lives. We need to live it and model it for those around us, especially for our children, our grandchildren. Patrick Henry was a prominent figure during the American Revolution. He's the one who made the famous speech in which he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." But near the end of his life, he made this statement, "I have now bequeathed all my property to my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If they had that, and I had not given them a single shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that, and I had given them all the world, they would be poor indeed." You know, it is a wonderful thing when you leave an inheritance to your children and to your children's children. But no matter how much money you could leave them, nothing could be as valuable as passing on to them a heritage of faith that they know the Lord personally. It just, you know, it brings me such joy when I see my 2-year-old granddaughter quoting the whole 23rd Psalm now, by the way. And you know, some of the words, she may not pronounce them just right, but it just sounds like pure gold to me, because there is something being passed on. I tell you, that's so important. What we value, you see, others will know what's really valuable to you. It's not what you say, it's how you live. Well, what you say has something to do with it, doesn't it? But it can't just be lip service. We need to consider, reconsider maybe, how valuable our relationship with God is. Consider the price that was paid so we could have a relationship with him. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct. The NIV says your empty way of life, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. No amount of money could get you this relationship with God. No amount of human effort or man-made religion could buy you a relationship with God. It took the precious blood of Christ. That's the value of having a relationship with God. That's the price. You know, they say that something is worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. Well, I don't know how much we're worth it, but that's what he was willing to pay. That's the price that was paid. His blood that redeemed us from an empty way of life. So many in our society still live in an empty way of life, no matter how much stuff they have. If God is truly the most important in our life, if we value him above all else, then it will show in how we use our time and our talents, our treasures, our efforts. Next, we need to reassess the value of the Word of God. Most need to value it much more than we do. You know, people will pay $40, $60, $100 a month for cable TV so they can watch whatever show, whatever game they want to. They'll pay $30 to $70 a month for internet so they can get on the World Wide Web and get information, whatever kind they want. But they take for granted the Word of God. They don't really value it. They don't hold it in high regard. They don't really seek after it. Psalms 119, verse 72 says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." We all have so many Bibles, and we've got it on our computer and iPad and our phone and anywhere we want it. It's free in so many ways. You don't even have to pay for it. You could just have it. But what if you had to pay $1,000 to have a Bible? Would you pay it? Oh, if you knew the value of the Scripture, you would pay $10,000 if you could. You would buy it before you bought a house or a car. Y'all think I'm crazy. I'm just telling you, there's such value in the Word of God. You see, with the Word of God, it will bring blessing on your life. The Word of God will bring such power in your life. The Word of God brings life in your life. Psalm 119, verse 127, he says, "Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold." In verse 162, he says, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." I can't remember if it was a dream I had at night or a daydream. But I remember I was driving down the road, and there was a bag in the middle of the road. And I picked up that bag, and it was full of money, like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Wow! That's the way we ought to be about the Scripture. Oh, because through the Scripture, one word from God can change your life. One word can set you free. One word can heal you. One word can restore a marriage. I'm just telling you, there's such power in the Word of God. We should value it. If we understood the power of His Word, we would reevaluate its place in our life and make it a priority. One more passage. It says in Psalm 19, 7 through 11, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." So many blessings that come to us only through the Word of God. Don't take it for granted, but love it, value it. We show how valuable it is to us by our devotion to read it, and to meditate it, to live by it. You see, we should value our relationship with God enough that we want to spend time with Him in prayer every day, to fellowship with Him and to sit at His feet. We should value the Word of God, that every day we take advantage of the privilege that we have in this country to have the Scriptures so readily available to us. Instead of taking it for granted, we take advantage of it. And you see, those two things together, we're talking about your spiritual life. Those two valuables are the key to your spiritual life. You know, we're living in a time when there's somewhat of a health craze. I mean, people are starting to realize in our generation that health is important. It's not fun to be sick, and it's not fun to deal with all kinds of health issues. And so, you know, more and more people are trying to eat right and work out and exercise. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of this life and that now is and of that which is to come." See, there's nothing wrong with working out, eating right, exercise. Oh, it profits a little. That's a good thing to do. But it's so much more important to take care of the inside. You know, sometimes we talk about the outside. I heard a lady this past week that went to her 20th reunion. I was thinking, 20th? Whatever. My 40th is this month. But anyway, and she was talking about how she'd gone to the reunion and all these people had just let themselves go. Let me tell you something. Don't let yourself go on the inside. There's a lot of people doing it. They're just lazy spiritually. Don't let yourself go. It's valuable for this life and the life to come. So you spend time going after the things that are most valuable. Your relationship with God and His Word. Another great valuable that comes from the Word of God is wisdom. Such a need for wisdom in our generation. You know, when all else fails, all of the success books and get-rich schemes and all of that fails, I'm telling you, God's wisdom remains. It will endure. And those that get a hold of the wisdom of God, they're the ones that are truly blessed. Now, I share these scriptures where it compares the word to money. And wisdom also is compared to money. It's so much more valuable. But I'm telling you, whatever you want to stack it up against, all the things that this world runs after, they'll fail. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor." See, that's the amazing thing. When we get our priorities right, when we understand what's really valuable in this life, God gives us those valuable things, but He also gives us that other stuff too. You see, it's Solomon that wrote this. And remember, he was the one that when God said, "What do you want? I'll give you whatever you want." He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for selfish things. He said, "I want wisdom so that I can govern your people." And God said, "I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give you all that other stuff too." And He did. "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." I think a lot of Christians, you know, we can ask the Lord for peace and we can confess and claim and say, "Jesus, you're my peace, and Jesus gives me peace in Jesus' name." And yet, so many times people struggle to have peace in their life because they do stupid stuff. I mean, it's hard to have peace when you're going through a whole bunch of stupid coming home. And the scripture tells us that wisdom will help you to find real peace. You make wise choices, and it just sets you up to be in a place where there's just not so much turmoil. I know no matter what is going on in this world or in our lives, Jesus can give us peace. He is the Prince of Peace. I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm just telling you that a lot of people set themselves up for all kinds of stress and turmoil because they don't use wisdom. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Another great valuable should be our family. Some zealous soul winners have set out to save the world and lost their own family. You can't possibly put a value on a loved one. They're priceless. And how foolish it is when people value their careers and their selfish ambitions or their hobbies above the things that are truly valuable. And the family gets pushed aside and neglected. Family should be cherished and enjoyed. Value your children. They are a gift from God. And the time is short. I want to encourage every married person to value your spouse. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 31, 10 and 11. The NIV, it says, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Value your spouse. We should value our church family, our spiritual family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been talking about this, you know, on Sundays. We just had that series about the church. But so many, listen, in our generation have devalued the church. And I'm not talking about atheists. I'm talking about Christians. They think it's just them and Jesus. They don't need the church. And I want to tell you how Jesus values the church. He loved her and gave himself for her. Ephesians 5:25. He loved her and gave himself for her. So many fall back on this that the church is some man-made religious organization. And it is not. It is the body of Christ. It is Jesus' church. It is His people. And so Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for her. Certainly we should value the church. Value the church. It makes such a difference in your life and in your family. And you raise your kids in church and they learn. Me and Carmen got to keep little Emery the last few days with Jonathan and Tracy. We were at a conference, and so I got to hear, I'm in the Lord's army, yes sir, over and over, like 3,000 times. Now some of the rest of the verses and things were kind of like, and I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir. She's learning something. And it's really cute, you know, when you're watching this little 2.5-year-old talking about being in the Lord's army. But she's learning. Now, I'm just telling you, you need to value your church family. Don't devalue. Don't listen to the culture. You see, it's a church family. We encourage one another. We pray for one another. We face life together, help one another, stand by one another. And last, we need to value the call and the purpose of God for our life. Some people disregard that. And again, they put their career, their hobby, everything else before God's work. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26 in the NIV says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward." How sad it is that so many trade away true valuables for a moment of sin, a temporary pleasure, and they trade away so much. For Moses, it was more than just a moment, although it was a season, but he turned down the treasures of Egypt. And even that was not just about the money. He also turned down the fame and the power and the prestige of Egypt. He turned it all down because he considered serving God's purpose as more valuable. He understood that there was an eternal reward that was far more valuable than whatever Egypt had to offer him. Every Christian needs to know this. There are things that are far more valuable. When this life is past in eternity, so many of the things that people have valued are going to be absolutely worthless. They're going to burn. They'll be gone. Things that they spent their whole life to acquire, spent their whole life trying to achieve. And in a moment, it'll all burn and be gone, and they'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for reward. And they stand there, the Bible says, saved yet so as by fire. They have nothing to show for their life. And like Moses, we serve God's purpose because we understand the value of eternal souls. We understand the reward. Whatever we do for God, we have a reward. We have a part in the lives that are changed for eternity. So once again, I want to encourage you tonight to consider carefully what you value in your life. I'm sure that there are other things of great value that we could add to this list from the Word of God. But I think these are such key things, things that should be priorities in our life that we truly value. I want you to stand with me and let's just close this time in prayer. And as you pray right now, I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with your heart. And even now, begin to reevaluate. And just ask the Lord to show you if there's some areas where you need to make a change. You may need to go home and pray about this further and seek the Lord about what He would have you do different and to value the right things. But don't live your life haphazardly or by default, but live it on purpose. Decide what's valuable to you and how you will spend your life. Father, I just thank you for the word that always sets us right, takes us down the right path. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I thank you, Father, for steering our lives in the right direction tonight. And Father, I especially want to thank you, Lord. I know there are some that you have redirected tonight, and I thank you for that, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would just give us wisdom and understanding and a heart to know you, a heart to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed. If you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you.